ವಕ್ರತುಂಡಮಹಾಕಾಯ ಸೂರ್ಯಕೋಟಿ ಸಮಪ್ರಭಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನಂ ಕುರು ಮೇ ದೇವ ಕಾರ್ಯೇಷು ಸರ್ವದಾ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ನಮಸ್ತುಭ್ಯಂ ವರದೆ ಕಾಮರೂಪಿಣೀ ವಿದ್ಯಾರಂಭಂ ಕರಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಿರ್ಭವತು ಮೇ ಸದಾ ಸಮಸ್ತ ಜನ ಕಲ್ಯಾಣ ನಿರತಂ ಕರುಣಾಮಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಚಿನ್ಮಯಂ ದೇವಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿದ್ವರಂ ಗುರುರ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಗುರುರ್ವಿಷ್ಣು ಮಹೇಶ್ವರಃ ಗುರುಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಭಜ ಮನ ರಾಧೆ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಭಜ ಮನ ರಾಧೆ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಭಜ ಮನ ರಾಧೆ 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 ಗೋವಿಂದ ಭಜ ಮನ ರಾಧೆ 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 ಗೋವಿಂದ ಭಜ ಮನ ಸೀತೆ ರಘುವೀರ ಭಜ ಮನ ಸೀತೆ ರಘುವೀರ ಭಜ ಮನ ಸೀತೆ 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 ರಘುವೀರ ಭಜ ಮನ ಸೀತೆ 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 ರಘುವೀರ ಭಜ ಮನ ರಾಧೆ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಭಜ ಮನ ರಾಧೆ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಭಜ ಮನ ರಾಧೆ 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 ಗೋವಿಂದ ಭಜ ಮನ ಸೀತೆ ರಘುವೀರ ಭಜ ಮನ ಸೀತೆ ರಘುವೀರ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಲಾಲ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ.
ಟುಡೇ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕೋಆಪರೇಟಿಂಗ್ ವೆಲ್. ಓಕೆ, ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಡೂ ಗೀತಾ ಧ್ಯಾನಂ ಫಸ್ಟ್ 5 ವರ್ಸಸ್, ದೆನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಸಿ.
ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವತಾ
ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಕೃತಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾ ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀ ಭಗವತೀ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನೀ
वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं I'll sing a few verses from Tulsi Rama. In between you can sing Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Mangal Bhavan Amangal Hari Shri Ram Drava Usata Shirath Jiravihari Vinu sat sanga vivek na hoi Ram kripa binu sul soi कुल रीति सदा चलियाई श्री प्राण जाए वरु बचन न जाए Yavara Ramachandra ki jai. Okay. So now we are seeing fourth chapter if you are joining us today for the first day. I will chant from verse number 20. Tyaktva karma phala sangam Nitya tripto nirashrayah Karmanya vipravrittopi Naiva kinchit karoti saha Nirashir yata chittatma Tyakta sarva parigraha Shariram kevalam karma Kurvannapnoti kilvisham Yadrichhalabha santushtah Dvandvatito vimatsarah Samasiddhava siddhaucha Kritvapina nibadhyate Gata sangasya muktasya Jnanavasthita cetasaha Yajnaya charatakarma Samagram praviliyate Brahmagnau brahmanahutam Brahmevatena gantavyam Brahmakarma samadhina Daivameva pare yajnam Yogina paryupasate Brahmagnava pare yajnam Yajne naivopajuhvati Shrotradinindriyanyanye Sanyamagnishu juhvati
Bhupati
Shabdadin Vishayananye
Shabdadin Vishayananye
Indriyagnishu Juhvati
Indriyagnishu Juhvati
Sarvani Indriyakarmani
Sarvani Indriyakarmani
Pranakarmani Chapare
Pranakarmani Chapare
Atma Samyama Yogagnau
Atma Samyama Yogagnau
Juhvati Jnana Deepite
Juhvati Jnana Deepite
Dravya Yajnas Tapo Yajnaha
Dravya Yajnas Tapo Yajnaha
Yoga Yajnas Tathapare
Yoga Yajnas Tathapare
Swadhyaya Yajnana Yajnascha
Swadhyaya Yajnana
Yataya samshita vrataha
Yataya samshita vrataha
Apane juhvati pranam
Apane juhvati pranam
Prane panam tathapare
Prane panam tathapare
Prana panagati rudhva
Prana panagati rudhva
Pranayama parayanaha
Pranayama parayanaha
Apare niyataharaha
Apare niyataharaha
Pranan praneshu juhvati
Pranan praneshu juhvati
Sarve pyete yajna vidaha
Sarve pyete yajna vidaha
Yajna kshapita kalmashaha
Yajna kshapita kalmashaha
Yajna shishta amrita bujaha
Yajna shishta amrita bujaha
Yanti brahma sanatanam
Yanti brahma sanatanam
Nayam lokostya yajnasya
Nayam
Kutonya Kuru Sattama
Kutonya Kuru Sattama
So the person, na ayam lokaha, asti agnyascha kutaha anya, o Kuru Sattama. For the person who doesn't engage in yajna. And here yajna is not the traditional type of yajna which we know, you just kindle a fire there and you sit down and offer things into the fire. Here the yajna is, you kindle inside the fires of self-control, those type of fires, the fires of knowledge, the fires of, you know, sanyam. That is, the ability to pull all the senses. Inside, we kindle those type of fire, the fire of vrata, the fire of tapas. How many different types of yajnas he gave. So inside, kindle that type of fire, and into that, burn all the other negative tendencies and all the things which we have. Bhagavan is promulgating something totally new, you know. And when people do that, you know, like our Gurudev, when they do anything revolutionary, there are people who oppose them also. So the Lord is trying to change the whole paradigm of yajna, which they practice until that time. Therefore, when he told all the people of Vrindavan also, worship me, do not worship Indra. Indra got vexed. Even the gods got angry with him, isn't it? And they tried to do all sorts of things. So, the Lord is a revolutionary. Like that. He makes changes. And look how this samsara is. Even the Lord himself, who makes changes, those changes do not take effect. People are still so taken up with all rituals, isn't it? But, for those who have evolved spiritually, or those who have evolved intellectually and have come to study the scriptures deeper, they come to appreciate this type of yajna which the Lord is talking about, where there is no need for me to go and get any fire or sticks or samagri or nothing. I sit down here. I have many sticks to burn. All of us have many sticks to burn, actually, and many samagri, unwanted samagri we are carrying for years and years. So that we have to burn. Like, laziness. So through tapas, I subject myself to some hardship. You see? So we saw on the last day, so many yajnas, 12 yajnas given by Bhagwan. These yajnas are there in the Vedas also. In other words, the Lord says, look, I'm not making up anything, you know. there's praman for it. The praman is there in the Vedas. Praman means authority. It's not that I feel like making up something and I go on making up new type of yajnas for you. All these are there in the Vedas. See the next verse now, 32. एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः वितथा ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे। Bhagavan likes this word, you know, vimokshase, you will become liberated. When you understand karmajan viddhi, understand that all yajnas are based in actions. Any yajna you are doing, suppose you sit down and you kindle the fire of knowledge in your mind, and into that fire of knowledge you are offering agyan, let us say, ignorance. That is a karma. All yajnas are based in karma. But the one who can see that karma is going on, I'm offering, means who is a good witness of this whole process, I'm offering into the fire of knowledge all my agyan. The one who can sit back and watch that whole process, that person will get moksha. This is the idea. Evam bahuvidha yajnaha vidata brahmano mukhe. All of these yajnas are there, spread across the Vedas. Here, brahmano mukhe means, Brahmanaha Mukhe means literally the mouth of Brahman. From the mouth of Brahman comes out all the Vedas. So, you know, in the Vedas, all these different types of yajnas are there. So Arjuna looked at Bhagavan, Prabhu, okay, you told so many yajnas, na? 12 different types of yajnas you gave there. Of all these yajnas, which is the best you think? Bhagavan says a nice thing there, something which is so applicable to all of us, something which the whole Chinmay Mission is based on. Shreyan dravyamayad yajnyat jnana yajna parantapa sarvam karmakhilam partha jnane parisamapyate. He says, Shreyan dravyamayad yajnat, greater than dravya yajna. Dravya yajna is where we offer some material thing, some physical thing. Where we offer to the world, to humanity, to whoever, some physical or material thing. Better than that is jnana yajna. Oh parantapa, jnana yajna is the best. So what is jnana yajna once more? I go on studying, acquiring the gyan, acquiring knowledge, reflecting, wondering, and I go on meditating on this gyan, and that gyan, when it is kindled in my heart, any viparita bhavana, any viparita thought, means opposing thoughts that arise, will be burnt in the fire of that knowledge. So it means I have to spend my life acquiring knowledge. This whole section hereafter will speak about knowledge, how important knowledge is. So Gurudev loved this term, jnana yajna. And this is what we do when we come here, because we are taking out jnana from these shastras, we are kindling the fire of knowledge, and into that we go on offering our ignorance. What is the meaning of offering our ignorance? It's a simple thing. You don't have to catch your ignorance with your hand and put it like that. We are not talking about that kind of thing. Offering our ignorance means the moment I understand any piece of knowledge, that moment itself, the ignorance gets burnt away. Like, I keep hearing of Alfonso Mango. I don't know what is Alfonso Mango, you know. So I may be having one in my hand also and I don't know. So I have ignorance about that mango. But if you come along and you say, wow, where did you get that Alfonso Mango? What you do by that is you bring knowledge to my mind. When you bring that knowledge, the ignorance which I had about that mango, that ignorance gets burnt away. So the jnana yajna is really the acquisition of jnana, which spontaneously, automatically burns away all agyan. You don't have to think that I have to sit there. People have all sorts of funny habits, you know. They sit there and their mind is going away, so they do like that, to try to catch their mind and all that kind of thing. It's not like that. And you cannot say, okay, in my mind, I'm going to take this again and put it into the fire of gyan and you go on doing something like that mentally. No, no. Just spend your time acquiring knowledge and reflecting deeply on that knowledge. That is the idea. And this is what we do here. You come here and we explain the scriptures. We tell, for instance, that there is one goal of Bhagavad Gita. That thing is called as moksha. It is moksha shastra. Now, that is the knowledge. Now, any other thing that you wanted to use Bhagavad Gita for, that should be removed from your mind now, isn't it? Because the knowledge has come to you that Bhagavad Gita is meant for moksha. So, jnana yajna, the acquisition of jnana, into which all our ignorance gets burnt. Sarvam karma akhilam partha. Here, the person who acquires knowledge, all his karmas get burnt up. What? See, the only way that our karmas can get burnt up on the acquisition of knowledge is when I come to know that I am a non-doer. I really am not doing anything. Who is doing? Bhagavan through his prakriti. He is doing. When I come to that state, that knowledge burns away all my karma. As long as I have the feeling that I am doing, that kartritva bhav, then it means there is ignorance there. If there is ignorance, I am bound. So all karmas get burnt up when knowledge comes. But here, proper knowledge. Proper knowledge is, I am akarta. I am a non-doer. Ahankara vimudhatma karta ahamiti manyate. In third chapter he said, it is egoistic to think that I am doing anything. Now, you have to start from where you are right now. All of us have the feeling that we are doing, right? That is called as kartritva bhav. So you start from there and be a good sadhak, be a good sevak, do seva, and think also that you are a doer, because that is what you understand at this level. And slowly, slowly you move to that state where I realize really I am not a doer, because Bhagavan is telling that. So I am not telling. The Lord himself is telling it. We are not a doer. So that ignorance which makes me feel that I am a doer, that ignorance has to be burnt up through knowledge. Karmaja'a. Sarvam karma akhilam partha jnane parimasamaptayate. When the person acquires this knowledge that I am a non-doer, he gets rid of kartritva bhav. That person burns away all his karmas. Means, what type of karma? There is all the karmas which we have done and is there in our storehouse. It is called as Sanchita Karma. And all our Agami Karma, they are burnt away. And only a little bit of Prarabdha Karma is left for that body to continue through it, whatever number of years it was meant to live here. All of us come with a number of years to live on this earth. It is said it is written on our forehead by Brahmaji. Don't go home in the mirror and start looking for it now. Brahmaji has written on our head forehead here how many years we will live here. So that is governed by our prarabdha karma. It is called a small package of karma which we come to exhaust. So only that doesn't go away. That remains. But all sanchita karma which we have done for countless lifetimes, upon the acquisition of knowledge, all the sanchita karma is burnt away. Nothing. You know, it is like what? Gurudev used to say, it is like a roasted seed. Those karmas become like a roasted seed. A roasted seed doesn't sprout. So the karmas which we have done so many countless lifetimes, they're there, but they become like a roasted seed. They don't sprout any results for us. That is the idea. When? Upon the acquisition of knowledge, not just like that. So this knowledge is the knowledge of the absolute which is being spoken about. So this knowledge is what we call praise. The eulogy is done of the knowledge. And how do we acquire this knowledge? Now that process is given in a very famous verse. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninastatva darshinaha. Tadvidhi, know that reality. This is a command of the scriptures. Tadvidhi, know the reality. This is the only time the scriptures give commands really. Oh, wake up, like that. Udeshta, jagrata, like that. those kind of things. Otherwise, the scripture really doesn't give many commands and all, you know. It gives commands only with regard to the highest knowledge. Wake up to that highest knowledge. Know that highest knowledge. Tad viddhi. How? Now, three means are given there. These three means sum up all of karma yoga, bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga. This one verse sums up the whole of Bhagavad Gita. It's the most wonderful verse. Pranipatena, you go and sarida. Pariprashnena, ask questions and sevaya. Do seva. To who? Jnaninaha, some knowledgeable person. Approach some knowledgeable person who is jnani and ask questions to him, do seva to him, and surrender to him. Like the three things are given there. Pranipatina means you go on, surrender. So there's part of bhakti. Sevaya, seva, that part of karma. You do seva. And the last one is pariprashnena, you inquire, you ask about atma jnana, not other things. Because on the path, people forget about atma jnana and they ask other things. So, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. And that person, that mahatma, out of infinite compassion, you know, upadikshanti te jnanam, he will give knowledge to you. Now, you know that this doesn't happen just like that, you know. Look here. There are so many people who met Gurudev also. And this is such a great mahatma, right? And then nobody, so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people, who met, hundreds of thousands, met him. And they did not go and do all of these three, but go and surrender to him, go and ask questions, go and do seva. All of them did not do. A handful would have gone. It means to say, I have to have acquired a tremendous amount of punya karma in my life previously. I have to have acquired so much of punya karma that this situation will present itself to me. So what we have to concentrate on right now? We have to concentrate on punya karma, I mean doing good things. And at some point, we'll have the opportunity to surrender to some great mahatma and to do seva for him and to ask him questions. It doesn't happen just like that. And when it is done, that mahatma, out of compassion, he gives that knowledge. So pranipatena means I go there and I surrender, I bow down, I do dandavat pranam. In that dandavat pranam, I am not left. The guru or the mahatma before whom I surrender, only he is left. Now you guide me, like that. Or sevaya, by service. I stay with him and I do service. Seva. They call us. Now see, what is seva? Not sitting there and pressing his foot all day, you know. Some people like to do that. Sit down and press feet. Especially when he is just about to walk away. It's amazing. No? Two disciples, they were pressing the feet of the guru. One the right foot and one the left foot. And a fly came and sat on the right foot. So the left foot disciple, he hit, fired a blow behind that fly. And that fly flew away. And he hit the guru's foot. So the other disciple said, "Hey, how dare you hit my foot?" They forgot this is guru's foot, you know. So he hit back the other foot. Don't hit my foot again. He took revenge. And this fellow got so angry. Right there, the guru's stick was standing. He took the guru's stick and gave one blow to the guru's foot, the other foot, and broke the guru's foot. That type of seva is not... It means you forget the whole purpose of what you are doing. Seva means whatever the guru is engaged in, you also get yourself engaged in that thing, in helping him to further that work which he is doing. Like he is spreading jnana. So how are you going to help him to spread jnana? Simple things it may be. See, there's a yajna coming up here. I just take some flyers now and take it to some store there, take it and put it up there. Simple things like that. You're helping to spread knowledge. That they call as seva.
Otherwise, people
only have what we call superficial understanding of what deep seva is. A superficial understanding. We should have such a deep and profound love for what the guru is doing that anything he commands me to do, I
do it.
There were some disciples, you know, who used to follow one guru, and they used to go from village to village. So one day, they thought, this guru is, poor fellow, he has to walk from village to village. Why don't we join up and buy him a horse? So they got together and they bought him a horse. So the guru used to ride on the horse, and all disciples used to follow that guru. So at one point, while going, and they used to take strict instructions from the guru. At one point, some bag fell out from the horse, the guru's bag, and nobody picked it up. So the guru said, where is the bag? They said, it fell out down there. Guru said, what is this? What kind of disciples are you all are? Why didn't you pick it up? Yet guru, Guruji, you did not give any instructions, you know. You must give instructions. Guruji said, okay, instruction is from now on, anything that falls out from the horse, you pick it up. Well, you know the story very well, no? Along the way, anything that fell out, including the dung, they went on picking up. That guru made a list now. Okay, if these things fall out, you pick up. If these other things fall out, don't pick up. Somewhere they are going again. That guru fell out and he was not on the list. He was not there on that list. They left him also. So, seva includes a deep understanding. That is why we have to ask questions. Ask questions about Atma. And ask questions about more profound and deeper things. And I must understand why I'm doing seva also. What does seva do? Chittasya shuddhe karma. This seva, karma, gives purity of mind. And it must also involve and include compassion. But I'm doing it out of love for the guru. Not to go on grinding your teeth, you know. This guru gives me everything to do. And there are so many others, he never tells them to do anything. One of these days, I'll run away from here. Not like that. Out of great love and compassion, you want to do something. So, and get the guidance from him. Ask questions. Pray Pashnina. If questions about the reality is asked, then one will get gyan also. So I'm telling these three things, actually these three parts of Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti Yoga, surrender. Karma Yoga, seva. Karma Yoga is supposed to end with seva only, you know. And Gyan Yoga, inquiry. Inquiry. Because asking questions is inquiry or not? Inquiry only. So, that guru, upadekshantite jnanam jnaninaha tattva darshinaha, he will give knowledge to that person who approaches with this humility and deep desire to learn. Then, the person who gets that knowledge never falls back into this realm of delusion again, he says. Yajnyatva napunarmoham.
Yajnyatva napunarmoham.
Evam yasyasi pandava.
Evam yasyasi pandava.
Yena bhutanyasheshena.
Yena bhutanyasheshena.
Drakshasyatmanyato mayi.
Drakshasyatmanyato mayi.
The person who is able to yajnyatva, knowing this knowledge which will be imparted to us by the guru, napunar moham. The person never comes back to delusion. People ask, what delusion, you know? I am not deluded. I know everything. Means, I have a fairly good knowledge of all things in the world, you know. I know what is man from woman. I know what is good from bad. I know what is, you know, Sanskrit from English. I know so many things. And I know what my duties are. I know who my children are. I know who my spouse is. I know which house is mine. spouse, house and children, everything I know, then why do Hindus go on saying that all of us are deluded? Well, the problem with us is that we see everything upside down. We live an upside down life. The fact of the matter is we are deathless, but all of us think we will die. The fact of the matter is that I am unlimited, eternal, nitya, unborn, all of these things. But what do I think? Opposite, isn't it? That thing is called as delusion. When I go on holding some knowledge which is opposite to the truth, any knowledge which is opposite to the truth, that knowledge, that is called as delusion. So I have always been there. And I am related to everybody in the world. All that is knowledge. But I think, no. I am only related to these children. I am related to this spouse. I am related to this family. See, the jiva is neither masculine nor feminine. But still I hold myself to be masculine or feminine. So, on the path of spirituality, I am supposed to discover that part of my personality which is devoid of all of these conditionings, devoid of all of these things which we hold. And they all hold wrongly, actually. That wrong understanding is called as delusion. Anything that is opposite. There's a rope there, and what you see? Snake. Now, that is opposite to what is there. You know? So, always hold yourself, for example, to be eternal. I've always been here. And I am a jiva with a body. Not a body with a jiva. Many of us think, oh, Swamiji, what will happen to my jiva? What will happen to my atma? People ask that type of question. I am the atma. It is eternal. It is not that. The atma is the one that drops the body. We feel that we are the body. And the atma comes out and goes. Then what will happen to me? It is reverse, actually. So the person who is able to acquire this type of knowledge from the guru, he never comes back to the state of moha, delusion. Evam yasisi Pandava. Oh, Pandava, he goes to that state of nirmoha, beyond moha. Yena bhutani, where he sees, when he reaches that state, what he sees? Asheshena drakshasi atmani atha mai. He sees all beings. And this is a most wonderful state which is described. Huh? The person sees all beings in himself. And he sees all beings in Bhagwan. The person who is able to get this Atmagyan, he sees all creatures and all beings in himself. His consciousness expands to embrace the entire world. And he sees that everything is me. Everything is in me. I am not separate and different and distinct from all things in the world. Right now, it is because of this feeling of distinction and separateness. Everybody is killing everybody in this world. How many bombs and how many every day killing going on? Why? All in or lodged in this wrong understanding that those people and these people, they are our people. And so we don't mingle with them. They don't understand anything properly. They don't follow what we follow. And so they don't deserve to live also. We can also kill them. Like that. You see? All because of this delusion that I'm not connected to anybody in this world. This knowledge is actually the panacea for all the problems of humanity. But nobody pursues. That is the most wonderful thing, you know? This is another thing about human beings. The thing which is good, he doesn't pursue. The thing which is not good, he loves that. See, you put on the table the kids, right? And on one side of the table, you have nice vegetable sticks of carrots and, you know, what you call the celery and all these different things to eat, peppers and all that, on one side. And the other side of the table, put pizza. Then what they take? Are they even adults also? Not only children. What we take? The thing which is good, nobody takes it. And we make it taboo also. Good things, human beings are so deluded, we even make the good things taboo. Yeah? Like somebody comes to your house and you give them water to drink. Water? Oh. Such a simple thing, you could not have given some other more. Like champagne or something. So the water becomes taboo-like. If you feel that if you give water, you're actually showing some sort of disrespect, or you're under-treating the person or something such thing, isn't it? This is how we live. So, anything good, he doesn't pursue. Anything evil, that is what he pursues. And therefore, a sadhak has to be vigilant. A sadhak has to be watchful. If you're really interested in Atma Gyan, you have to be watchful for yourself. Not because the masses are watchful or somebody else is watchful. You just have to think, what do you want in life? Do I want Atma Gyan? Do I want to reach a state of beyond delusion, actionlessness? I want to reach that state or not? Or I want to stay in the samsara with all the delusions, with all the sufferings, with all the shortcomings, with all the problems going on every day, with all the types of diseases. Even if you are healthy, you don't know what will happen the next day. You have to decide that thing. The ball is in your court. So, the person who pursues this and discovers that Atma Gyan, he realizes that all beings are in himself. All beings are in Bhagwan. Atmani and Mayi. Atmani means in oneself, and Mayi means in Bhagwan. Bhagwan is telling. We come to discover that I am in the Lord, and the Lord is in me also, and all things are in the Lord. And everything, the Lord is in everything. And I and the Lord, we are one. That is what is described in the verse. Huh? And it doesn't matter if that person is the greatest sinner. See that word, that line, how nice. Api chedasi papebhyah. Sarvebhya papa krittamaha. Sarvam jnana plave naiva. Vrijinam samtarishyasi. Api chet asi. Papebhyah sarvebhya papa krittamaha. If you are the greatest sinner, Lord says, that person is the greatest sinner in the world. This fellow has a PhD in sin. Even if that person acquires this knowledge, all his sins are burnt away. Sarvam jnana plavena eva, by the raft of knowledge, vrijinam samtarishyasi, he crosses over all sins. And in Hinduism, please understand, we have a very comprehensive understanding of sin. Sin is not what you are taught in this Western setting, Western societies. In the Western societies, you know, there are do's and there are don'ts. What do you call commandments? If you break any of these commandments, that is a sin. So those are the sinful things. Any other thing you can do? Not like that. One preacher was telling, I have a list of 578 sins. 578? What do you do with it? He said, I've already had 76 requests for the list. People want to see what wrong things they can do. One teacher asked that little boy, do you know what will happen if you break one of the commandments? He said, yes, there'll be 9 more to break. People get some joy in breaking commandments. If it is wrong, let us do it. That might be good. It might give joy. So that is not the concept of sin which we have in Hinduism. Sin is anything, pay attention to this, anything which I engage in which pulls my mind away from Atma Gyan and towards samsara. That may be a very, very, what we call as innocuous action. Some action that is so simple and not harmful. So some little thing, like for example in the morning, instead of getting up and thinking about the Lord, in the morning when I get up, I think about the rock concert tonight. Right there, I pull my mind the other way and I pull it away from God. Simple thing like that. So what happens? I strengthen and fortify this inclination to always pull away from reality by adding one more action every morning. When I get up, I think about that other thing instead of thinking about God. Ram Ram tahi kinha. In Sundarkand, it is said when Vibhishan got up, Hanumanji heard him saying, Ram Ram. So immediately in the morning, he remembered Ram. When we remember some worldly thing, that itself is sin. I'm encouraging my mind to go into the world. So that is what we mean by sin. So the person may be the greatest sinner. If he acquires this knowledge, all his sins are crossed over. That is the idea. How? In the next verse, some example is given. Yathe dhamsi samidhognihi bhasmasat kurute arjuna jnanagni sarvakarmani bhasmasat kurute tatha yatha edhamsi, like fuel that goes into a fire. Samidhognihi bhasmasat kurute, O Arjuna, the fuel gets burnt away. In the very same way, the person who acquires knowledge, all his pap, all his sins get burnt away in that knowledge. Just like how the ghee or the oblation or whatever offered into that fire gets burnt away. So here, all sins get burnt away. There is no purifier in the world which is so great like knowledge. This is a very famous verse. People always have arguments about karma, bhakti, jnan, you know, and what purifies the mind and what purifies like that. Now you'll see in many places, the scriptures will tell this is purifying or that is purifying or some other thing is purifying, right? But he says, among all the things that purify, nothing purifies like knowledge, like atma jnan. Why? Because the other types of things that purify, suppose I come to satsang. Right? Satsang is purifying. Satsang will remove so many of the negative tendencies from the mind. It will, for example, I have a habit of talking about people's business, for instance. So in satsang, I'll be reminded, look, it's better not to talk about people's business. I'll be reminded of that. So in satsang, that negative tendency will be removed. So satsang is purifying, because I remove something negative. But jnana is most purifying because it removes the ultimate impurity. The ultimate impurity is again ignorance, maya, or whatever you want, avidya. That is the ultimate impurity. So there is only one antidote to that, and that is jnana. Just like there is only one antidote to darkness, that is light. So there is one antidote to ignorance. Ignorance which I have of myself. The antidote is jnana. So, and if the person acquires this knowledge, all his sins and all ignorance, all things, they are burnt away. Just like when we light a fire and we throw ghee inside, it is burnt away. Now, Bhagavan tells this in this very famous verse. Nahi jnane na sadrisham. Pavitramiha vidyate. Tat svayam yoga samsiddhaha. Kalenatmani vindati. Nahi jnanena sadrisham. Pavitramiha vidyate. There is nothing known in this universe which is more purifying than jnan. Tat svayam yoga samsiddhaha. Kalenatmani vindati. The person who gets this knowledge himself reaches that state of total achievement in short time. I mean, all his ajnana and everything is burnt away. Now, there's a very famous, another famous verse here, which I'm sure you would have heard, and that is about how important shraddha, faith, is in the acquisition of knowledge. The person who will get this Atma Gyan, the supreme knowledge, is the one who has Shraddha. That person will get. Now see here. Shraddha vaṁ labhate jñānam. Tat parasamyatendriyaha. Jñānam labdhvā parām shantim. Achirenādhi gacchati. The one who gets knowledge, jnanam labdhva, having gotten that knowledge, param shantim gachati. He reaches the state of supreme peace. Now, really speaking, what are we all looking for in this world? People say we are looking for happiness. But in this Bhagavad Gita, happiness and peace are one and same. Ashantasya kuta sukham, he says in second chapter. Happiness and peace are one and same. So the person who gets this knowledge, jnanam labdhva, he reaches the state of supreme peace. And how? How fast? Very fast. Achirena. Fast he reaches the state. And after all, we want nothing but this, you know. Every human being should be pursuing this atmagya. See, one of our problems is that we mistakenly calculate where the locus of happiness is. We think that happiness or peace is when I get this thing, when I get that thing, when I get the other thing, I'll become happy. And that doesn't work like that. That is a misunderstanding. Huh? That when I get this or get that, I'll be happy. You know that. When you get this or get that, the reverse happens. Before I had this car, you know, I was very peaceful. Now, I got this car and it stalls right into 285 or 385 or whatever it is. Right in the middle. And come out and we kick the wheel. He's smart also. He doesn't kick the metal. He kicks the rubber so it wouldn't pain him. So, anything we acquire comes with so many of the attendant discomforts and sorrows and so many things. The joy which we are looking for is not to be found in objects of the world. So there's a misunderstanding as to the locus of joy. The locus of joy is inside. So upon the acquisition of this jnana, the person reaches that state. This knowledge, the person reaches that state. And he can only get this knowledge also. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. This is the famous phrase, that only a person with deep faith, in fact, Shankaracharya writes in his Bhajago, in his Vivek Churamani, you know, yaya vastu palabhyate, faith or shraddha is the thing by which we acquire this jnana. If a person doesn't have shraddha, he will never acquire knowledge. Now, what is this shraddha? So many commentators and so many authors and so many gurus and all, they have tried to tell what is Shraddha, but our Gurudev has given a most wonderful explanation of Shraddha. He says, Shraddha is faith. It is the belief in something which I do not know, so that I may come to know what I believe in. Right now I don't know it, but I have strong belief that it is there. Atma is there. Self is there. So I have strong belief that self is there. And eventually I will come to know that self. I'll come to be that self. I'll come to merge with that self. So there are many people who start off there and they say, no, there is no such thing as God. They are called as atheists. One atheist was giving a speech on the stage, you know, and he was frightened, you know. Nervous. So when he finished his speech and he went backstage, they asked him, how was his speech? He said, by God's grace, it was good. When the crunch comes down, that time, he believes quickly in. But one fellow fell off a cliff and he was hanging on a root and he was an atheist. So he shouted, is anybody up there? Please save me. Is anybody up there? Please save me. And then he heard that Akashvani, you know. Yes, this is the voice of God. He said, oh, God, you are there? Please save me. Until now, I never believed in you. But from today, I'll believe in you. Please save me. He said, okay. Bhagavan said, okay. Now let go. Let go that root. I'll save you. He said, is anybody else up there? How quickly our faith and all goes away. So strong faith. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. The one who has that shraddha, he gets this knowledge. What? I should be fully convinced. Now, it is not that it is blind also. After thinking about the nature of the world, I should develop this shraddha. If I go on thinking, look, see here, how simple this thing is. If I'm speaking to you, that proves my existence or not. If I do not exist, who will speak? So if I'm speaking to you, that means there's somebody here. So at least I prove. And one fellow went to some guru and said, oh, great guru, how do I know that I exist? That guru asked, who may I ask is asking? If you're asking, that means you exist. So I start there. And describe yourself. I am. Aham asmi. I exist. Now, I may not know what my nature is. But the rishis tell, my nature is Sat-Chit Anand. That I have Shraddha in. I must have strong faith in what they have said. I know that I'm there, but I really don't know my nature. Because one moment, I'm miserable. One moment, I'm happy. So I really don't know what my true nature is, isn't it? Some days laughing, some days crying. So if I'm just swinging like this, how I'll know my true nature? But they tell, but my true nature is Sat-Chit Ananda. So now I have faith in those words of the Guru and I go on searching for myself who I know exists. I should be fully convinced about that. There is some reality in deep inside me which I am searching for. That person will find it. Labhate. The person who doesn't have that, no, there is no such reality. You know, all things are happening by, you know, chemistry and the laws of physics, and there is no reality behind the whole thing. One little boy had atheist parents, you know. So one day when they were not home, he set the dinner table. And when they came back, they asked, wow, who put all these candles and cutlery and everything here? He said, nobody, it happened. So they said, what do you mean it happened? Don't be silly. Somebody would have set the table. Who set it? He said, no, you say that there is no God, no? So if there is no God, it means stars and moons and planets and earth and trees, they can all come by themselves. Because there is no God. They all came by themselves. Because you're atheist, you believe in no God. So this table came by itself. All the plates and cups. So the parents also saw the futility of their belief. People who say that there is, you know, people who believe that there is no God, then you have to ask them which God you don't believe in. They have some concept of God in their mind. And if they don't believe in God, they believe in some greater principles that govern the universe. We say, but that is God. They believe in physical laws, right? Physical laws, the literal meaning of the word Ishvara, is the body of all laws that govern the universe. So the Lord is the body of all laws. So a person cannot live in this world without believing in God. So that's firm belief in the absolute reality, and that one day, I will acquire that state. I will reach that absolute reality. That is called the one who has Shraddha. And it starts with what? Tatparaha, holding that to be supreme. And Samyate Indriyaha, one who starts controlling all his senses. His senses include all Karma Indriya, Jnana Indriya, and the mind also. Because the mind is the sixth sense. Mana Shashtani Indriyani. So the one who controls all his. This is where we start. Lord never fails to keep on reminding us where to start. We start simply with the control of all of our indriyas, jnana, karma indriyas, and our mind. One who doesn't do it, he'll not reach anywhere. But the person who has doubt, he said that person is as good as dead. One who has doubt in the Lord, in the next verse, see. Agnyascha shraddhanascha samshayatma vinashyati nayam lokosti na paraha na sukham samshayatmanaha. Agnyascha, the one who doesn't do any or who doesn't have any knowledge, or who doesn't do any yajna, which we talked about, to get knowledge. And he's agnya. He doesn't know, he's ignorant. Ashraddhanaha, the one who has no faith. Samshayatma, the one who doubts. These three people, he says, vinashyati. They're as good as dead. The ignorant person, the person who has no faith, and the person who doesn't believe in the presence and the existence of God. He said that person is as good as dead. Tulsidas Ji writes in the Ramayana also, same thing. Jinahari bhagati hirdaya nahi ani. Jivata sava samanate prani. You heard this bhajan and all, na? Jo Rama nama nahi gate, wo jite ji mar jate. Jo Rama nama gate hai, wo param dham paate hai, bolo. Ram, 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 like that. The one who doesn't chant the name of God, wo jeete ji mar jaate. Means he living, he is dead. So, remembering God all the time and having faith and chanting his name, that is life, the scriptures tell. Anybody who is not doing that, he's only running about in this world, enjoying all material things. That person is Sava Saman Te Prani Tulsidas Ji, right? He's like a corpse. So all the time, remembering the presence of God, all the time remembering how wonderful the Lord is in sustaining and supporting my life every moment. If the Lord pulls away even for a second, I can't lift this finger. How every moment he's sustaining. So remembering that and having strong faith in him. Then the one who, see, three things are given. One who has no faith, ashraddhana. Then agnya, means the one who has no knowledge. Agnya, in whose mind there is absence of knowledge, that person is vinashyati. What does he mean? He is dead to his reality. He is dead to his reality. When my reality is Satchit Ananda. So in that reality, if I don't know, I'm dead to that reality. It's as though that reality doesn't exist. And the third person is given there, the one who keeps doubting all the time. Doubting Thomas. Or doubting Tom. Anything you tell about Shastras. No. This is all your belief, you know. You believe that. There's no sustainable, rational evidence to prove what you're saying. It is all belief. Please remember this one more thing. Vedanta is not about belief. Vedanta can very well do without belief. It is the only philosophical system in the world that doesn't need belief. Every other, for example, Christianity, you have to believe that the Christ was actually there and he was crucified, all that. Suppose you say, no, I don't believe. Then the whole thing falls. It is based on a belief. Or you have to believe that Muhammad existed. But Vedanta, do you see me or do you believe you see me? You see me now. Do you exist or do you believe you exist? Well, you don't believe you exist. You know that you exist. Vedanta starts there. I am. Now I'm just going to find out what I am or how I am or what is my nature. That's all. And the more I look deeper and deeper, slowly, I will find out what I am. This is Vedanta. If that requires no belief, I know that I am existing already. So the other things which we have in Hinduism, where we have belief and faith and Shraddha and all that kind of thing, they're only aids. They only help us on our path. Not that we need. Like I give the example of a person who leaves his car with me. So if he leaves his car with me, until now I have been traveling on the subway. So when he leaves his car with me and he goes to Europe for a year, now really I don't need his car, you know, because already I'm used to traveling on the subway. But I could very well use it. It is the same thing with belief. We really do not need it, but we could very well use it. So it is there, so we use it. So it is not required. I could very well discover what I am with proper guidance by some great person who has already tread the path. One who has gone through the path, one who has experienced what is there to be experienced, I could take his guidance and go deeper and deeper inside, and I can find that truth of what I am. Belief is not required. You know, we start with that I exist. Now I'm just going to find out how I exist and what is my nature and all that sort of thing. See? So, the person who doubts the existence of this higher reality, that person is as good as dead. Vinashyati. Nayam lokaha asti na paraha na sukham. He doesn't have any gain in this world, no any gain in the other world, and not in between also. There will be no moment of joy in his life. Some people say, Swamiji, but I am okay. I have a lot of joy. Every day I enjoy like anything. But life is like that, you know. Today it will bring joy and tomorrow it will bring sorrow. So he will not have joy in this world, nor in the next world, nor in between. No time. The person who has Again, who has no Shraddha and who doubts the existence of God. Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana samchinna samshayam.
Jnana samchinna samshayam.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibadhananti
dhananjaya.
Yoga sanyasta. In yoga, he renounces all actions. What is that? In discovering himself, becoming one with himself, that he calls yoga, that time he renounces all doership. Really, I do nothing. The whole universe is proceeding by the dint of providence only. Jnana chinna samshayaha. And by knowledge, he destroys, cuts asunder all the doubt. All the disbelief and doubt and all things which he was having, which is born from again only, ignorance. So true knowledge, he cuts asunder all his doubt. Atmavantam na karmani nibadhananti dhananjaya. Karmas never bind this person. So again he comes back with the same thought which he started with in the beginning. What is that? The bondage of action. The triangle which I told, that causes all of us to be bound to this world and we take birth again and again. So the one who cuts asunder all his doubts with the sword of knowledge and finds the self, he is never bound by karma hereafter. Then, therefore, what we have to do? Find that self, pursue that knowledge, become one with the self. That is what is given in that last verse. Tasmad jnana sambhutam. Hirtham jnana sinatmanaha. Chitvainam samshayam yogam. Atishto tishtha bharata. Utishtha, O Bharata. Rise up. In other words, for all of us, rise up and take up the challenge of finding Atma, or finding Self, or acquiring Atma Gyan. Rise up and take up the challenge. Don't be passive and, okay, maybe in this life it is not meant for me, you know. Maybe next life I'll get it. That kind of half-hearted approach to Atma Gyan will never work. From second chapter, he's telling Arjuna this. Tyaktotishta parantapa. And here again, Atishtotishta Bharata. Rise up, stand up, and you pursue this knowledge with vehemence. Pursue this knowledge with great purpose and direction. Don't approach it in any half-hearted way. Swamiji, can I take a recess this life? No. Tasmat ajnana sambhutam. All this ignorance which we walk about with, Hritstha, which is there in our heart. Jnana sinat manaha. You cut it. Chitva, having cut it with jnana asi means a sword. Cut it asunder with the sword of what? Knowledge. Acquire knowledge and cut away all ignorance. And reach that state of union with yourself. Come to understand yourself. This is the teaching of the fourth chapter. Giving precedence to knowledge. In these last few verses, knowledge is praised. Knowledge is eulogized. Knowledge is given the highest place. And through that knowledge, I can burn away all my karmas. Because many of us feel, Swamiji, I have done so many karmas. And people go on saying, all my vasanas are there and I have to remove them. And how many vasanas are there? Infinite in number. I could never remove. Really, you could never remove because there are too many. And karmas, when you will finish? Because every karma you do, what you are doing, two things. All karmas, you are exhausting one karma and creating another one. So when you will finish? You walk two steps forward and two steps backward. Where you will go? In fact, it is worse than that. In our life, we walk two steps forward and five steps backwards. It means to say, I exhaust two karmas and I create five new ones. So that can only come to an end when I acquire this knowledge. And that journey starts by the control of senses, and we saw previously also to go beyond the pairs of opposite, to go beyond kama, krodha, all such things, raga, dvesh, all such things we saw. So find yourself in a very good program of sadhana. Chart out your sadhana for yourself and pursue the path with vehemence, not to just take it lightly like that. This is the idea. He said, in the last, what they call it, Phalastuti, the name of the chapter is also given. Om Tat Sat Iti. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su. Upanishatsu. Brahma Vidyayam. Yoga Shastre. Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade. Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga Nama. Chaturthodhyayaha. This is the fourth chapter, which deals with Jnana Karma Sanyas, with the renunciation of all action. Renounce to who? I am not doing anything. Bhagavan is doing. The Lord is doing everything. Renouncing all actions to Him. Jnana Karma Sanyas. Through knowledge. When I say that the Lord is doing, I just don't say it like fanatically. I say it out of understanding. I say it out of going inside and seeing how Prakriti throws up so many things in my mind. And based on those things, I go on doing things. And how, even without me, things in this world, they go on. All things in this world will go on without us or not. Don't think that, see, you say, if I was not there, my children will not have been born. Do you think that's true? Never true. They will be born in some other family. Then what is your usefulness in this world? What is our usefulness in this world is actually? Big zero. So based on that now, means to say, insofar as Prakriti is concerned, Prakriti can very well do whatever it has to do without us. So seeing that, then okay, Prakriti really doesn't need me, I'm going to pursue Atma Gyan. I'm going to pursue this knowledge and see how Prakriti is doing everything. That is the idea. So when I do that, I renounce all doership of actions. Really, I don't do anything. Jnana Karma Sanyas. Renouncing all karma through Gyan. And this chapter itself is another Upanishad, which forms a dialogue between Lord Krishna and Arjuna. All 18 chapters are called as Upanishads. Because it's a dialogue between the Lord and the devotee. And it talks about the higher knowledge. So Krishna Arjuna Samvade, a wonderful dialogue between the Lord and his, between Lord and us also, you know, you should put yourself in place of Arjuna. Arjuna Nimitti Kritya, he's made Arjuna only as a medium, an excuse to teach us. Okay. We usually chant the first verse to symbolize. We start studying the whole thing over, only to symbolize, and don't worry. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Imam Vivasvate Yogam. Proktavanaham Avyayam. Vivasvan Manave Praha. Manurikshvaka Vebravi. We'll have announcements.
Hari Om. Everything has to come to an end. You